Hi. I'm excited. I am really excited to share this, and I'm excited to be here with you guys, and I'm really thankful that I get to share this with you. So, thanks, Jerry. This is Recognizing Your Position as a Son of God, Part 2, okay? And, you know, when Alex started, he read a quote from Dr. Werwell that said, "No person is able to walk confidently in the renewed mind until he recognizes his legal position in Christ." No person is able to walk confidently in the renewed mind until he recognizes his legal position in Christ. And that's really what I want to look at today. We're going to look at three parts. We're going to look at who we are, right? And we learned that from Alex's teaching and also from what Steve shared, but we're sons of God. That's who we are. We're going to look at what that means. What does it mean to be a son of God? What does that mean? And then the third thing we're going to look at is act like a son of God, right? If we are one and we know what it means, we have a responsibility to act like a son of God. So, you can tell I'm nervous. Take your Bibles and we'll turn to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. In verse 15, it says, "For ye have not received the spirit of bondage, again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption," or sonship, "whereby we cry, Abba, Father." That's who we are. We're God's kids. That's who we are. As Alex shared, we are God's sons, and because of that, we have rights. Because of that, we have privileges. But that, in essence, is who we are, and we have to remember that if we're going to walk confidently in that renewed mind. Turn to 1 John chapter 3. In 1 John chapter 3, in verse 1, it says, "Behold," right? And Alex read this, "Behold," take a look at this, "what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not." We're the sons of God. That is who we are. That's who we are. When we got born again, we got Holy Spirit, right? We got Holy Spirit. That changed us. So if we still wake up every day and think that we're the same person we were before we got born again, we're living a lie. It's not the truth, right? We can behave like it's not true, which is what we'll look at later, right? You're welcome to do that, right? I don't recommend it, right? Usually it's not fun. But, you know, it doesn't change that, but we're changed. We are different people, completely different people. And what we have to do is really believe that. We have to be able to wake up every day and go, this is new. It's a new thing. I've got Holy Spirit. I'm God's kid. I've got rights. I've got privileges. I've got abilities. And that's what we have to do to be able to really recognize who we are, recognize the change, that there is a difference, and accept that. And man, boy, oh boy, does it get exciting, right? 2 Corinthians chapter 5. You know, and like Alex said, we don't have to work for anything. We don't have to earn anything. It happened now. It's here. We're born again. So let's party, right? Let's go. We don't have to do nothing except really believe God's word about who we are. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And in verse 17, it says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a what creature? A new creature." New. "Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." And the old things are passed away because the new things have come, right? Old things are passed away. We've got new things because we are new. So that's the first thing, recognizing who we are. We are God's sons, right? We are children of God. We've got that nature of our Father, and it's new. It's a new dawn. It's a new day, you know? It's not the same as before. It's new. We wake up and we realize every morning, I'm God's kid. There's a difference. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. So what is the Son of God, you know? Now that we know who we are, that we are a Son of God, well what is that? What does that mean? First Corinthians chapter 1. I accused Alex of stealing my teaching last night, but it's okay. It's all right. He called me this week, and we were talking about what we're teaching on, and then we compared notes last night. I was like, he stole my teaching. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. What does it mean to be a son of God? That's what it means. That's what it means. Sanctified, right? We are set apart by God. We're set apart for heaven. And the best part about this sonship, like Alex shared, is it doesn't change. So we can do whatever bad things we want to do, and it really doesn't matter. At the end of the day, we're going to heaven, right? So you can try to mess it up if you want to, right? But you can't. You can't. At the end of the day, we're going to heaven. We're going to heaven. We've been separated from that which is common. Sanctified. Righteous, you know, in that right state. We are free from sin. We can go to our Father and not feel like we're lacking anything because he's made us complete. We don't have to feel guilty. We don't have to feel ashamed. We don't have to sit there and get nervous because we're thinking about the bad things that we've done in the past, even if the past was 5 minutes ago, right? We don't have to feel that way because we are righteous. We are in a right state. That's what it means to be a son of God. We are justified. We're released from that penalty of sin. We don't have to pay anybody back for all the stupid things that we've done or we will continue to do, right? But we ask for forgiveness. But, you know, we don't have to do anything. We're justified. You know, we've been redeemed. We've been bought back from the hand of the adversary, which is deliverance on account of a ransom paid. That was my favorite definition when I looked it up. Deliverance on account of a ransom paid. We're God's. We're God's. We are God's property. That's who we are, and that's what it means to be a son of God. Colossians chapter 2. So we've really got to recognize that there's a difference. There's a difference between who we were and who we are now. And with that difference comes all of these rights, all of these privileges, all of these abilities, this access we have to God, the love that we get to enjoy that he has for us, right? The family that we're now a part of as a result of that. These are all things that we get to enjoy, and that's what it means to be a son of God. Colossians chapter 2, verse 13. It says, and you can put your name in there, you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. Everything that was owing or lacking in mankind, Jesus Christ paid for. God sent his only begotten Son to pay for that for us. And it's a little humbling, right? He sent his Son to do that for us. We're complete. Everything has been paid for. It's a done deal. We don't need to do anything, and that's, again, what it means to be a son of God. That's what it means to have those privileges, to know that we are God's, to know that he sent his Son for us, and that because of that, we're born again, and we get to enjoy all of these tremendous things. Ephesians chapter 1. You know, all of these things that we're looking at in God's word are all true, right? Because we believe that the word is true. If we don't believe it, though, it's not going to have any effect on us, right? It's just going to be the words on a page.
But all these things that we're looking at this weekend in God's word about who we are and about, you know, the renewed mind, which is just putting the word in our mind and acting accordingly. You know, that's basically what it is, right? It sounds simpler maybe than we make it. But, you know, if we don't believe these things, it doesn't have an effect on us. And so we need to believe them. We need to read these truths in God's word about who we are, about what we can do for him, about what Jesus Christ accomplished for us. And we need to believe it, and then we'll see the tremendous effect in our lives, and then, as we'll look at in a couple minutes, the effect that we can have on other people's lives. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7. It says, "In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace," right? God's grace was so massive and so extensive that he bestowed upon us all of this grace, right? And because of that, we have forgiveness of sins. We mess up from time to time, but we know we're forgiven. All the big things we're forgiven for, all the little things we're forgiven for, right? Because he didn't quantify what types of sins or how large it was that we got forgiven, right? We're just forgiven of all of it. So we don't need to wake up in the morning and sit there and do a lot of soul searching about, you know, the things that we've done and all this kind of stuff, right? We don't need to do that because we've been forgiven. What we do need to do is wake up in the morning and go, okay, new dawn, new day, Son of God, moving on. And that's what we need to do. And believe God's word concerning who we are as his kid and then what that means to us. Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5 and verse 8, it says, "But God commendeth his love toward us," right? God loved us so much in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for who? For us. And, you know, and like I said before, it's humbling when we think about it, but that's the truth. That is the truth of God's word. "Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him." You know, and justified is just to make righteous. But again, God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And we got to believe that. We have really got to believe how much God loves us so that we can really enjoy these things that he's given us. So that we can really accept that incredible relationship that we are now able to have with him as his kids. The access that we can enjoy as a son of God. The things that we get to bask in, like his mercy, his forgiveness, his grace. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And in verse 17, it says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a what creature?" New creature. New. This is new. "Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation." We have a great responsibility. It says that we have been given the ministry of reconciliation. Jesus Christ, because of what he accomplished, was able to bring us back to God. And now what God has done for us is he's allowed us to have his word, and he's allowed us the privilege of being able to reconcile others back to him. We can share God's word with somebody and change their life forever. Forever. We have that privilege, and it's a great privilege, and it's a great responsibility. But we've got it. And that's what I was saying before. When we think about renewing our minds and recognizing our positions as sons of God, when we do that, it's not only going to benefit us, but it's going to benefit the others around us. We're going to have an impact on other people's lives as a result of that, as a result of walking out on that truth that has been hidden, that has been hidden. As a result of walking out and believing who we are as God's kids, that we are righteous, that we are forgiven, that we get to enjoy all of these privileges, and people get to see that in our lives. They get to see that and go, you know, why are you so happy, right? Or, you know, there's a million things that people say all the time. But they get to see that there is a difference. And again, it's not an egotistical thing, right? It's just enjoying being God's kid. That's it. It's enjoying having the privileges that we have and being able to manifest that, like Jerry shared last night with the fruits of the Spirit, you know? Manifesting that and letting people see us, and then, you know, they'll open up the book, you know, and take a look. What's going on? What's that all about? Verse 18, and all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then are we ambassadors for Christ. Represent Christ, right? As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be reconciled to God. That's what we get to say to people. Come back, you know? For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. So that brings us to our third part, you know, who are we? We're God's sons. You know, what does that mean? Well, all of those privileges that we get to enjoy as being a son of God. And then the third part is then act like it, right? Let's act like it. If we've got it, act like it. Philippians chapter 1. And acting like a son of God is manifesting those fruits of the Spirit, right? It's bringing people back to God's word. It's being able to show them all the tremendous things that God has made available to us. And in Philippians, in chapter 1, in verse 27, it says, only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit with, how many minds?
One
mind, striving how?
Together
for the faith of the gospel, right? Let your conversation, you know, live as a citizen or live as such and conduct oneself accordingly, right? And we know that our citizenship is in heaven. This is how God wants us to live. Live like a son of God. Let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. Let it be worthy of that word of God, you know. Let our behavior be that way. And then the great part about this verse, too, is at the end that it says that I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit. And it's a together thing, isn't it? In one spirit, with one mind, striving together. And we got to do it together for the faith of the gospel. In a Reverend Cummins Working Translation, part of this verse is translated, only live as a citizen worthy of the gospel of Christ. Live that way, worthy of the gospel of Christ. What a privilege and what a responsibility. Ephesians chapter 5. In verse 8, it says, Ephesians 5, 8, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now, right? Because there's been a change, right? Now are ye light in the Lord, so walk as children of light. Some of you might remember the way you walked before you got born again. This is different, right? So walk the different way.
walk as a child of light. It might be a little bit different than the way you were walking before, but walk with that change as a child of light. Colossians chapter 2. In verse 6, it says, "As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him." This is how. That's how you walk. "Rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving." That's how we do it. We act like someone that's rooted. That's how we walk. Someone who's rooted and established in the faith, abounding with thanksgiving. 2 Timothy chapter 2. And this is what we need to keep in mind as we're acting like a son of God and really living that. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3, "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier." God enlisted us, right? God is the one that enlisted us. And so what we want to do is to please God, because he's the one that enlisted us to be a soldier. So to do that, we're not going to get all caught up with the world. We're not going to get all entangled is a great thing. Just like imagine just all, right? You know, like world and all mixed up, right? You don't want to get all entangled with all of that nonsense. We don't want to do that. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. This is one of my favorite verses. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. In verse 9 it says, "For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry, ye are God's building," right? And the important thing to keep in mind in the beginning of this verse, it says, "For we are laborers together," right, "with God." We've got each other to labor with. We've got each other to pull this whole thing off with, to rely on each other with, to remind each other of who we are, to walk out on that word together, right? Striving together for the faith of the gospel. And we're doing it with God. So you know what? Even if it sometimes seems like we're doing it alone, we're not, because we've got who? God. And he's not checking out anytime soon. Hebrews chapter 6. So we know that we're sons of God. We know what that means, the privileges, the rights, the access that we have because of that. And so in knowing that, we would want to act like a son of God, right? We'd want to walk that way as a child of light. We want to bring people back to God's word. We want to manifest those fruits of the Spirit. We need to remember that we're laboring together and that we're doing it with God. And in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 10, we always need to keep this in mind as we do it. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 10. "For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which ye have showed toward his name, and that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister." You're doing it with God, baby, and he ain't gonna forget it. Okay? So, thanks.
Wow, fantastic.